you started it now? Good morning. We get to come together today to celebrate the resurrection, one of the greatest events that has taken place on planet Earth. We get to celebrate what Christ has done for us. And along with that, look at what has happened in the past, but get to look at our future as well. Today we're going to look at guarantees in Christ's resurrection. What does it mean? How do we benefit? What are the blessings? I want us to start off in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 1 down through verse 23. And it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then all of the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming." Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you at this time, and we thank you for your word. And Father, we pray that as your word is spoken, as your word is read, that it would sink into our hearts, that the Holy Spirit would guide and direct and teach us and lead us. And Lord, may you be exalted, may you be glorified here as we gather together in your holy and your precious name. Amen. You know, Paul is confronting the Corinthian church here, because some say that there is not a resurrection from the dead. He starts with the gospel, which he had already preached unto them before, and he reminds them that we are saved when we receive the gospel, unless they had believed in vain. The same thing applies to us today. We are saved when we believe the gospel message, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. And it has to be genuine. You know, Paul reminds them first that Christ died according to the Scriptures. It's very important to realize and understand the meaning of the death of Christ. That he was buried. He was put in the tomb. And that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And in this passage, you will find that he tells us it is all done according to the Scriptures. God had foretold what was going to happen. And Jesus Christ came forth and poured it out exactly, displayed it exactly, given it to mankind exactly as the Word said it would be. And in this resurrection, as we look at the resurrection of Christ, we see three great guarantees that are given to us as believers. The first one of those we find in the first seven verses, and it points to the fact that we have the guarantee of our Savior. The guarantee of our Savior. The resurrection declares that Jesus is the Son of God. In Romans 1:1-4, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. That passage clearly lays out that Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, as God in the flesh, according to the Scriptures, comes forth with power, comes forth according to the Spirit of holiness, declares the resurrection of the Son of God through Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that all have died. All will die. In Hebrews 9:27 it says, "And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." We all have an appointment with death. The only thing that can prevent that is the catching away of believers. Now, when we look at death, we do not have the power to control death. When we look at mankind, when we look back into the Bible, we can look at men like Samson. Man, he was a strong man. He was powerful in the flesh. But Samson was not strong enough to resist death. Solomon, the wisest man that had ever lived on the earth, apart from Christ, was not wise enough to escape death. Methuselah lived longer than anyone else as in the flesh. He lived 969 years. But then the Bible says he died. All conquerors of all time have been conquered by death. All kings have been ruled by death. All religious leaders are in their graves. Only Jesus defeated death. In Luke 24:5-6, when the women went to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus, they were addressed by two men in shining garments that was speaking to them about Christ. And they asked the women this question, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen." These beings that were there to announce to these ladies the resurrection of Christ. They ask, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" 3 days earlier, he was laid in that tomb. But he was no longer there. The resurrection, then, it was a sign of the deity of Jesus Christ. Over in John, I want to read to you a passage. In John chapter 2, verse 18 through 22. It says, "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, speaking to Jesus, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Before Christ went to the cross, before he was laid in the tomb, he had announced what was going to happen. He had told them that he would be and that he would rise again. He would rise from the dead. We see in this passage that his disciples remembered what he had told them. It is important for us to remember what Jesus has told us, what the Word of God proclaims. Another passage in Matthew chapter 12, verse 39 and 40. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Again, we see Jesus proclaiming the time that he would spend in the tomb. In John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18, it says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There can't be any clearer verses than these that proclaim the deity of Jesus Christ, that proclaim that he has the power to rise up from the dead. He has the power over death and hell. So our first guarantee is the guarantee of our Savior. So we have a Savior. We have a guaranteed Savior. And we have the guarantee of our salvation. You know, as Paul is addressing the resurrection back here in Corinthians, he's addressing what the resurrection is about. He's talking about the resurrection. And in verse 12 of chapter 15, he says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? People in our world, even today, say it's not possible. We can't rise from the dead. And when we look out into the world today, we think, well, the cemeteries are full of graves. Places are full of graves. There is nothing rising from the dead. How can it be? The same thing was going on in the early church time. People were saying, well, how could it possibly be? And Paul sets it straight. Paul brings it to them and brings it to us and brings it to our world today, that there is a resurrection from the dead. He starts out, if there be no resurrection of the dead, in other words, if there is no possibility of the resurrection, then is Christ not risen? Because if we cannot rise, then Christ cannot rise. And then he says, if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, your faith is vain, and the apostles then are false witnesses. So when we look back, who were they? And some will say today, it's all a lie, it's all a joke. But Paul is standing here. Paul didn't have to follow Christ. In fact, he was working contrary to Christ, persecuting the church as he stated. But God spoke to his heart. Jesus Christ called him specifically. He is a testimony of the risen Christ. He goes on to say, if the dead rise not, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not raised, then your faith is vain. How can you believe in a risen Savior when you don't believe in the resurrection. He goes on to say, if your faith is vain, you're yet in your sins. Then you are not saved. You cannot be saved if there is no resurrection. So those who have died believing in Christ, if there be no resurrection, then are simply perished. He goes on to say, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If this world is all there is, then we will be most miserable. There is nothing else. But then Paul turns that around to the Corinthians and confronts them and confirms to them the resurrection. He says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Christ had to be the first one to raise from the dead. He has the power himself. He covered our sins with his sacrificial life on the cross. The power of the resurrection, the power that he possessed to raise himself from the dead, is the same power that lives in us as believers, the same power that will be given and raise us up when he chooses to do so. Paul confronts this resurrection of Christ, and it was not just a hearsay thing. He says the resurrection of Christ was seen. It was something that took place. There were actual witnesses to the resurrection. I mentioned earlier about the women who went to the tomb to anoint the dead body of Christ and found that he was gone. The messengers there, the angels there that said, he's not here, he is risen. There's several events that took place on the day of the resurrection. Different people who got to see and speak to the risen Christ. These are testimonies of those who were eyewitnesses to what went on. And that eyewitness has been recorded in the Bible and in God's Word. Paul is saying that the resurrection was seen by Cephas or Peter and then the 12. By 500 brethren at one time. 500 got to see and experience Christ raised from the dead. By James and then by all of the apostles. And then by Paul. Paul says, and then by me. Paul, when did Paul see the resurrected Christ? Well, we know on the road to Damascus, when Paul was going to persecute the church, that God spoke to him and God proclaimed to him who he was. He told him, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Paul had a confrontation with Christ. And then later on, Paul, I believe, spent some time with Christ. And we know that Jesus directed him in a special way as we read on into Acts and some of the events that took place. Who were all these people and what were they doing? Who were all these that saw the resurrection of Christ? We don't have a lot of the names, but we have the events. We saw that the apostles, we know that they met with him later on and spoke to him. We know that when Christ ascended into heaven, that there was a multitude of men and women that were there and reminded us that he has the power of life and death. Who were these people and what were they doing? Why were they proclaiming all this? Why were they writing and recording and going out and preaching these things, telling others? Because they were the eyewitnesses. And it was the resurrection of Jesus Christ that changed their lives. And I want you to know today, it's going to be the resurrection of Jesus Christ that will change your life. We can receive him as our Savior, and we are saved from our sin by our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But the hope of eternal life comes because of Jesus Christ having the power to raise from the dead, to be the first fruits, and then to cause us to be raised as well. So the second guarantee is the guarantee of our salvation. We are guaranteed, if we truly trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are guaranteed salvation. Salvation, being saved. And the third guarantee is the guarantee of our resurrection. As Paul was talking, and I just mentioned, as he brought up the resurrection to those in the early church, to the Corinthian church, as we see, the resurrection is a vital thing because it is so closely tied to our salvation. We're saved and we're given eternal life. And it's not in this fleshly body that we have that eternal life. It is in a changed body. I want to read to you a passage in 1 Corinthians that talks about this very thing, the resurrection of those who have trusted in Christ. Well, let's back up just a minute to 1 Corinthians again, where Paul is talking in verse 20. 1 Corinthians 15, 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. We find in this passage, every man in his own order. Because in Adam all die. This flesh will not go on. But there is a resurrection that takes place. For since by man came death, by man, speaking of Christ, came also the resurrection of the dead. Christ has the power to raise us up from the dead. And he goes on to say, but every man in his own order, Christ first, and afterward they that are Christ at his coming. So at the coming, or at the return of Christ, when he comes back and calls us up, there will be a resurrection of those who are in Christ, those who have accepted him, those who have trusted him as Savior. And we find that true Christians, true believers, those who have truly put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, those who are truly saved, will be resurrected at the Lord's return. Now over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 13, Paul again writing says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. When the Lord returns, when Christ Jesus returns, he returns with the power of the resurrection. He returns being able to raise those who are dead in Christ from the dead. Those that will be alive at that time will be changed. And we will spend eternity with Christ. So we have a guarantee of our resurrection as believers in Jesus Christ. Those who have trusted and put their faith and walk by faith in Christ alone. Christ will return as he has promised. Because of the resurrection of Christ, man has been given the opportunity to possess some wonderful guarantees. The guarantee that Jesus is the Savior. And by the way, he is the only Savior. He is the only one who can save mankind from their sin. We have the guarantee that we have salvation. Salvation in Christ alone. Security. And the guarantee that we will have a bodily resurrection. This flesh will be changed. Because all who have trusted Christ will be with Christ for eternity. We celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is no longer in the tomb. He was there for a short time. Why? Because he has a power over death. He has conquered death. Christ has risen, and we celebrate the risen Christ. Let me ask you this question. How does the risen Christ affect your life today? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you turned to him asking for forgiveness of your sin? He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. As we come before him, I want to encourage you today to put your trust, put your faith in Jesus Christ alone. Accept him for who he is. Accept the power of God's salvation in Christ. Read his word. Trust him with all of your heart. As the Bible says, walk with him. Spend the rest of your life and for eternity with Jesus Christ. How do you do that? By turning to him and asking Jesus Christ to come into your life and save you. Walking away from sinfulness. Walking away from that restriction and that what holds you back. What is holding you back from Jesus? Give it to him. And watch what he can do with your life. Trust in him today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you.